We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's going on, guys? Welcome into the Guilty as Charged podcast. Today, I'm joined by a special guest. That is Chargers' new long snapper, Josh Harris. Josh, thanks for joining me, man. How are you doing today?
Man, doing great. Doing great, Tyler. I appreciate you having me on and working with me a little bit on the time change. You know, made the trip back east to visit with the family this weekend. But hey, looking forward to sharing a little bit tonight.
Yeah, I know. I can't wait to hear what you have to say about the film and all that. Somebody asked me when you first signed, hey, you know, when's the long snapper film breakdown going? I'm like, well, you know, probably won't happen, but maybe we could do something with that. And I reached out to you and you were totally down for doing this. So I really do appreciate that. Guys, for those of you that are watching live, the show's going to be broken down to three different parts. First part is just going to be a little bit of get to know you with Josh here, just real quick. Second part is going to be a film breakdown. We have a field goal and a punt here. Josh is going to break down all of that for us. And then the last part of the video is going to be your live question. So if you have a live question, please fire it in and I will try to answer as many. Well, no, Josh will try to answer as many as he can. I'll just sit here and bring them up. All right. So the first thing, the Chargers are very much so a family first organization. And so I just wanted to get to know your family. You just talked about them. And I do have this right here. I know you don't need to know what your family looks like. You already know that. But for everybody else, you know, who's the Harris family? What are you guys all about? How's that going?
Yeah, so I've been married to my wife, Cameron. It'll be 9 years here in July, and we've got three little ones. Our oldest is Kenley. She's 8, and Hattie is 6, and Anderson, our son, he's 3. And, hey, we are very much a football family. We love the game and everything about it, and we love experiencing this this crazy ride that's been an NFL journey together and getting to share all of that, you know, with not just us, but, you know, our extended families as well. And so we're looking forward to making some new memories out on the West Coast.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love this memory down here at the bottom right. How did you get your son into the picture with all these NFL players in there?
you know, I think we just kind of went for it. You know, it was one of those deals. It's better to ask for forgiveness than permission. Yeah. You know, type thing. And he was out there the whole day. I mean, I've got some videos from, I mean, we did like a little punt period and he was right there with me, like with the ball in his hand. So it was really cool. And we got a former teammate down there right in front of him, Kyle Pitts. And so we were well represented out there. And, you know, years from now, he'll probably look at that and be like, wow, that was a cool moment with dad.
Oh, I have to imagine that as soon as he realizes what all of that means, how often he'll be showing people this particular photo, that memory. That's amazing. So with your entire family, though, because you went to high school in Georgia, if I'm not mistaken, and obviously went to Auburn, then you went for the Falcons. What went into this move then across the entire country over here to Los Angeles?
Well, I mean, I think first and foremost, just an opportunity to join an incredible organization, you know, filled with great teammates, great players, you know, and I think that's just something that's really something to get excited about, you know, and it's definitely be a change for us, you know, not just for me, but for our family as well. But just looking forward, you know, just so much for the opportunity that's ahead, you know, and so that's a lot of things are going to be a little bit different, right? Some of the opponents, your division, you know, stadiums, things like that. But at this point in my career, I just could not think of a better situation, and just feel very blessed and thankful for the opportunity to get to go, you know, out there to LA and continue this this career.
Yeah, I love it. And we're certainly happy to have you, of course. I did want to get into your career very quickly. And again, you don't need to be reminded of any of this, but I'm sure the people at home, just to follow along, no offers out of high school. You will go to Auburn, you try out, you win. Undrafted free agent, go to Atlanta, you win the job, become a Pro Bowl long snapper, granted many years down the line, but you won that job. So I have two questions. One, what kept you going through all that? And two, how does a long snapper win a competition in camp?
You know, I think there's a lot that that goes into that. But first and foremost, I mean, coming out of high school, I knew that Auburn is where I wanted to go to school, whether I was playing ball or not. You know, I didn't have any offers, you know, really a lot of opportunities there to continue that career. But I could snap, and I had a coach that said, hey, you should give it a shot. And so I didn't want to look back and have any regrets. You know, I didn't want to wonder years down the road, you know, what would have happened had I, you know, showed up to that that walk-on tryout, you know, and kind of the same thing, you know, I didn't get called up to the team until halfway through my freshman year in 2007. And so I'd already kind of put football aside and, you know, kind of jumped right back into it when we got started, you know, that year. And, you know, just continuing through college, you know, I didn't really understand that, you know, long snapping was something that that was a, you know, a specialized position in the NFL. You know, I thought that it was other positions that kind of handled those duties, and that's how it was for a long time. But you know, they finally specialized that position, just like kickers and punters, and very thankful for that. And to get an opportunity to be able to play for a team that I grew up cheering for, you know, just a chance to try out, you know, that was all I wanted. You know, it's all I needed. And I just wanted to put my best foot forward. And I knew that I was just going to try as hard as I could. And, you know, ultimately, God showed a lot of favor on me, you know, and allowed me to have this opportunity to make that team. And, you know, here we are, you know, 10, 11 years later, and we're still kicking, and we're still in love with the game. And I love the process of it, you know, this time of year, training, working out, you know, getting together with the guys, you know, on the field, off the field. I just couldn't ask for anything more. You know, it's just an incredible opportunity.
Yeah. What an amazing journey, just the underdog story throughout. And then to be able to, you know, you're right now, I'm sure you know this, the most guaranteed money of any long snapper in the league. So things worked out. The dreams definitely are working out in that regard, of course, and just being able to play, your experience is so cool there. All right, last thing, not related to film, I guess. I did want to ask about the schedule release. Did you see the video first off? And then are there any, well, I can assume that there's one team on this schedule that might catch your eye, but is there anything about this schedule that kind of, like, whether it's the primetime games or the traveling or whatever, because obviously you've been in Atlanta for so long, you've never experienced the AFC West like this and the AFC in general. Does anything stand out to you aside from a certain November 6th, week 9 team?
Well, yeah, I did get a chance to see the video, and that was pretty incredible. I mean, that was some really good work there. It was funny, you know. I guess the Waffle House shot there, you know, I'll let that one slide, you know. But yeah, I mean, obviously the Falcons game is that'll be a big one for us. But you know, really just any of those divisional games. I mean, starting off, you know, right there, the first 2 weeks, you know, that's a great time to a great way to, you know, set the tone for the season. And, you know, that's kind of where that season goes through. Right. And, you know, when the division, you know, that takes care of a lot of things for you. And so when I look at that schedule, I see a lot of opportunity in front of us and a lot of opportunity to do it, you know, in primetime as well. You know, 5 primetime games, that's big time. And that's definitely something that'll be Those will be circled on the calendar, and those will be, you know, games that we really look forward to and enjoy, you know, those moments, you know, because they don't come around all that often. I say that, you know, coming from the previous organization, you know, we wouldn't have five in a season right sure. now. And so just really looking forward to capitalizing on those and just taking advantage of every opportunity that we get, you know, no matter what the schedule lays out or who we got, you know, we got to take care of business each and every week.
Does the bye week play into anything for you guys? Like, I know the Seahawks played a joke on their team. They had like a fake schedule release and they were so bummed about the week 4, week 5 bye. Where does that bye week kind of play in for you? Do you have any kind of preference as a player?
You know, I think sometimes when it's really early in the season, you know, that can be a little bit tougher just because, you know, that, you know, it's going to come quick and then it's a long stretch, you know, towards the finish line. And I think to have it kind of somewhere in that midpoint, you know, that mid range, I think is always good just because you kind of have a time to reset and regroup and, you know, you still have a lot of football ahead of you. But I think that week, no matter when it comes, you know, you just got to take advantage of that time, get your body right, get your mind right, whatever work that you need to get done, you know, handle that business during those days off and enjoy it with your family or with your friends. Because it's a long season and, you know, you don't get to see them all that often. You know, you're gone early in the morning, you're back late at night. And so just trying to take advantage of that time you get away from the game, but staying plugged in for sure.
Yeah, makes sense. All right. Now to the film study, what everybody is here for. I cannot wait to see how this goes. So we do have one punt. I do have the end zone view as well, but I wanted to show the sideline view. So we have one punt and then one field goal later because this, apparently, I don't follow your career prior to joining the Chargers, obviously, but you set a career high in tackles on special teams this past season with 4, according to Pro Football Focus. And we do have one right here. So I wanted to show the sideline angle of it. You can talk about it as we watch it there. But then we can flip it to the end zone view and you can talk about more about your job and your particular role. So, I mean, right. How often does this happen for you? Is this 2, 3, 4 times a year? You know, how does this go? What's going through your head here?
You know, I've usually had, you know, a handful a year, you know, for sure. But last year was special, you know, and that's not just on me. You know, it has a lot to do with my teammates around me, you know, getting that returner, you know, running towards me and, you know, me just kind of being, you know, doing my job and staying in my lane. But, you know, being at the right place at the right time. And, you know, a lot of times my tackles might not look the prettiest or anything like that. Hey, but as a wrestler, a former wrestler, you know, a lot of my tackles, it's funny, me and my dad will joke and my brother about, you know, they look like wrestling takedowns, you know, and whatever it takes to get that guy on the ground, man, it doesn't matter. So it was this was a good one. This was a primetime game here. So that was definitely fun.
Yeah, not bad. No, that was pretty good. I mean, you wrapped up, you know, you brought him down, no yards after the tackle. I think it was pretty good. No missed tackles there. Not bad. Yeah, not bad. All right. So the actual end zone view. So now just walk me through all of this because this is completely foreign to me. It's foreign to most of us. Obviously I know what you're doing, but what are you seeing here? What's everybody else around you doing?
Yeah. So here there are 7 guys that are in the box. It looks like here, I don't want to make sure I'm not missing anybody. So when there's 7 guys in the box there for the defense, that's you know, the personal protector or the fullback, the guy standing there in between me and the punter, he's going to set the protection and send me, you know, to the side where there's four rushers. And so here he's probably going to send me to the left. So first and foremost, I got to snap an accurate ball. So I got to snap and then I've got to recover and block. You know, I have a protection assignment here, and then anything, you know, after that, you know, that's that's icing on the cake. But first and foremost, I got to snap it. I got to, you know, handle my blocking assignment and then run as fast as I can down there and try to mix it up. So we'll let it play and see how this one worked out.
Yep. And I'm more than happy to pause it at any time if you want me to.
Yeah.
Go
so,
over.
So in that situation right there, the guy that's lined up right there in that left A gap, what he's trying to do is he's trying to kind of knock me off my track so that I can't pick for one of my guards. Mm. So if he were to come straight off on one of the guards, then I'm just going to kind of pick him, you know, same way like pick and roll in basketball. I mean, I'm going to hit him in the side. My guard is going to release behind me. And so now we kind of get two guys out and, you know, leave that defender behind. So he kind of shocks me to keep me from, and he does a good job of it here. So, you know, I'm not able to pick for any one of the guards. I just kind of have to hold my ground there and then get out as fast as I can.
Yeah. And obviously you get the tackle there.
In fact, my guard kind of picked for me there. That's very rare. So that doesn't really happen all that often.
There you go.
Shoves him off. Now we're out. And my assignment, you know, on these punts is I'm going to the ball. And so I'm reading, mm-hmm. you know, my teammates around me. You know, I don't want to follow the same color jersey down, you know, downfield. You know, we got to kind of keep our spacing and keep, you know, keep some levels to it as well. And so I'm trying to play off as many guys as I can. And I've got one guy that comes over and tries to pin me inside. And, you know, I think I do a pretty good job of at least escaping the block and keeping my feet moving and getting to the ball.
Yeah, no, that's hustle. That's good stuff. Here we go. Boom. Look at that. Nowhere to go. Either out of bounds or you get him down.
That's right.
I like it.
I didn't celebrate too much there. So sometimes I'll get a little too excited, you know, and throw a little Tiger Woods fist pump in there, you know, or something.
Okay.
In there.
I think he had something at the end here. I don't remember if it was a Tiger Woods fist pump. Is that the go-to?
I mean, he's the GOAT. So a lot of times, you know, it's it does center around some of his iconic celebrations for sure.
Right on. So you talked about the personal protector here, calling out the protections, obviously. Is that typical mm-hmm. for special teams, or is that kind of just depending on the team?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, every punt team, I mean, they're going to have that that PP or fullback, whatever you want to call it, mm-hmm. in there. And he's kind of your quarterback. I mean, he's setting the protection okay. calls. He's given the cadence. And, you know, that defense is running stunts, you know, and twists and all sorts of stuff, just like a defensive line, you know, and edge rushers and linebackers would. You know, in this particular look, they're, you know, it's pretty much a return. So, you know, they've got seven guys in the box. They can still rush out of that, but, you know, we have eight to block seven. And mm-hmm. so, you know, that's good math, you know, on our end. And so that personal protector, you know, me and him, we work, you know, hand in hand. And so we would watch a lot of tape together, break down things together and, you know, see, hey, in this look, do you want me to send you left, send you right? And so we all have to be on the same page there. And, you know, that year that was that's Daron Harmon, man. He was awesome. Great, great player. I think actually now he's in Vegas. So we'll get to see him week one. But yeah, so those guys, their job, you know, it's kind of under the radar type stuff. But those guys mm-hmm. are crucial to getting these plays off the ground.
Yeah, kind of like your spot. You know, you don't really notice them. You don't really notice them. You only really notice them when something bad happens. So if you're not noticing him, that's great.
I heard somebody say it's like an air traffic controller. And I was like, you know what? That makes a whole lot of sense. You know,
yeah, absolutely. Right. Absolutely. Okay, fast forward to this. So I just have a screen grab of the next one because you don't have to go through the entire play. I just wanted to know if things changed. Punt again, but you're backed up in your end zone at this point. Like, what did the dynamics change? Is the timing change? Obviously, you're not super backed up. So you're about as spaced out as you were in the previous play. But what changes for you guys when you're more backed up like this?
Well, you know, I think first and foremost, you got to know where you're at in relation to the end zone. You know, you got to hold your ground a little bit more. You can't, you know, that holding penalty, if you grab one of those in the end zone, you know, now you're looking at a safety. Yeah. And so, you know, just depending on, you know, different coordinators and schemes and, you know, where you're at in the game, what the score is, you know, maybe even the weather. I mean, just all sorts of things come into play. Some teams will choose to rush, you know, in a situation like this, or they'll set up a, you know, a pure return, which is kind of what the Patriots have going on right here. I mean, they've got double vice out there on both of our gunners. So, I mean, they're basically trying to eliminate those guys because, you know, those guys, they can release downfield as soon as the ball is snapped. The rest of us, we can't cross the line of scrimmage until the ball is punted. So, you know, they're trying to keep those gunners pinned, you know, and not let them escape and not let them get downfield and in hopes of, you know, creating kind of some chaos there and creating a big return for them. You know, field position is obviously key in every game. And especially when you get a chance like this backed up, you know, you're trying to eliminate as many return yards as possible on that punt team. And it changes a little bit here and there, but hey, you know, you got to treat every situation and every play, you know, with the same amount of focus and intent. And I think a lot of that comes with experience and also just watching tape and seeing, you know, what teams like to do, you know, in certain situations. And in this situation, they're the Patriots are definitely going for a return. But that doesn't mean those guys inside can't rush. You just, hey, now right. the numbers again are in our favor. You know, we got eight guys in there in the box and they've only got six. So if somebody wants to rush, you know, we've got a few extra sets of hands in there that, you know, we should be able to handle that.
Yeah. Love it. I don't know how many punts or field goals you've had blocked in your, obviously not, you're not kicking, but you've had blocked throughout your career. I'm asking this as a Chargers fan. I don't know if you know, watched our 2020 season, but there were far too many blocks. I'll just say that much. So what tends to be the main culprit when something like that happens?
You know, I mean, it can be a number of things. You know, I mean, it can be any position, you know, any gap that the guys come through. But, you know, typically, you know, kicks and punts, you know, they're blocked through gaps. And so the ideal situation is that you create that wall, you know, and that starts with me and the personal protector and the A gaps. And it works out with the guards and the tackles and the wings. And, you know, we're really all working together. You know, while my responsibility, you know, is blocking what we're going to call the fours inside. You know, when you count those guys, you count those defenders from the outside in. So the guys on the outside, you know, with his hand in the dirt, he's a one. The next guy's a two. Then the next guy would be a three and a four. And so the wings, those four, the guys that are lined up just off, you know, off the ball, kind of back there with the PP, you know, they're going to handle those ones. The tackles are going to have the twos. Guards are going to be responsible for the threes. And then me and the PP or the fullback are going to be responsible for the fours. And so it's on us to, you know, get great looks first and foremost, you know, during the week of practice. You know, a lot of times with the practice squad and the show team, you know, those guys, you know, the harder they can make it for us during the week, you know, then in the game, it's going to be, you know, a little bit, you know, it's going to feel natural. You know, you're not going to feel a lot of, you know, surprise from the speed, you know, by which it happens. But yeah, I mean, it's a tough play. And it's one of those things that you do it right 99% of the time, and the one time, you know, something goes wrong, you know, it can be catastrophic for a game. And so it's important for all of us to be on our game at all times and to do the best that we can.
Yeah, well, can't wait to not hear your name throughout the season because everything went right. I hope.
Yeah, knock on wood, right? That's right.
Yeah, exactly. Let me scroll past this. Okay, so we do have a field goal here. No sideline angle, just the end zone view. I believe this is a 54-yard field goal. I believe this was Koo's longest on the season last year. One, kind of like the punts, what changes between, you know, the distances? Like, are you guys thinking of anything differently because it's a 27-yarder or a 54-yarder? And then just what happens on this particular play? I'll go ahead and run it through, but just talk to me about what your process is here.
Yeah, well, I mean, first and foremost, it's kind of this, you know, you want to treat every play, you know, kind of the same. You don't want to rank plays. You know, an extra point in the first game in the first quarter means just as much and matters just as much as, you know, a 54-yarder, you know, during the middle of a game or a game winner. You know, you just never know when those points are, you know, any time that we're out there as a field goal unit, you know, you're talking about putting points on the board. And so anytime we can do that, you know, that's definitely a plus. And so, you know, this was an awesome kick here. You know, Koo just bangs it right through. But, you know, I think one of the biggest differences, and a lot of people don't know or, you know, understand or see, you know, the detail that goes into a kicking unit. And, you know, first, you know, for a punt, that's a 14, 15-yard snap. This one is 8. But if you go through and watch, you know, any field goal unit, I mean, for the most part, what's my job as a snapper is to deliver that ball accurately to the holder with the laces on top of the ball so that all he has to do is put it down, you know, and not have to spin the laces. And so that's going to happen a lot of times. You know, sometimes, hey, things happen and, you know, those holders are incredible with what they're able to do in such a quick amount of time. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I know that my ball rotates like 2.5 times before, you know, from the time it leaves my hands to the time the punter catches it. And or the holder catches it there. And that can vary depending on the holder and kind of where they catch it, you know, or do they catch it kind of out in front of them? Do they catch it closer, you know, into their body? But, you know, that's all, you know, my job is to try to make that holder's job as easy as possible, you know, and so whoever's back there kicking, you know, they have a lot of confidence in the operation so that all they, you know, need to focus in on is putting that thing through the pipes.
Yeah, and I mean, clearly Koo has like quite a bit of success both in field goals, extra points, and even onside kicks. So you guys are doing a pretty good job.
That's right.
I won't bug you about Koo. He's a former Chargers player, and we sort of regret letting him go. But fantastic player, of course, and I'm glad he's doing well.
No doubt.
So in this particular situation, now who's calling protections, or is this just kind of a everyone understands Inside Out, or what's going on here?
Yeah, you know, there's not really a protection called, okay, you know, per se on something like this, but you know, here it looks like, you know, New Orleans, they're rushing from the field, which is pretty common. And so those guys, you know, we're all kind of working together and really trying to protect the, you know, the flight path of the ball. And most of the time that flight path of the ball is coming, you know, basically kind of right over that right guard's back, you know, kind of right in there, especially from the left hash here kicking. I mean, in order for that ball to be good, if it's staying straight, you know, that's where it's going to travel. And so it's, you know, I believe this, and I've heard it coached this way too, that field goal, you know, extra point, you know, it's the toughest 2 seconds in football. You know, we're trying to get this thing off in, you know, 1.3, you know, seconds, somewhere in that neighborhood. And so every little bit of time, you know, helps and matters. And, you know, those guys coming off the edge, they're trying to get a jump. Maybe they have a read on something maybe that I do or the holder does. So there's a lot of stuff that goes into this. But at the end of the day, you know, you might switch. Some teams might switch the wings that are out there on the outside of the formation, depending on the kick, you know, kind of where you're anticipating the rush coming from, or if you know there's a certain guy on the opposing team that is good off the edge. Maybe you put that guy towards him, no matter where he's at. And so, you know, a lot of different things go into it here. But you know, they're just trying to overload, you know, that right side of the ball, left side as we look at it here. Just to try to collapse that line and get somebody up into the flight path. And who knows, especially a longer kick, sometimes, you know, there'll be a little lower trajectory, and it just takes a little bit of a finger tip to, you know, drastically change that kick.
How long did it take you to figure out that it was 2.5 rotations between you and the holder? Like, how do you, at what point were you like, oh yeah, I can just do that? Like, that, this is so foreign to me. You're obviously such a specialized role. How did you figure out even how to do that?
Well, I tell you, film breakdown has come a long, long way. You know, now, I mean, my rookie year, I mean, it was grainy. I mean, you couldn't see anything in the film. I mean, you just kind of, all right, here, you can just kind of see like a blob kind of going back there. But now, man, everything's in HD and it's crystal clear. And so, hey, we've got some time on our hands to break down, you know, everything, every little thing that we do. And so one day I was like, hey, well, I just want to see if I can figure out how many times my ball rotates. And so, you know, that, and I would say most guys would say it's somewhere around that same amount, you know, and hey, but now every now and then it'll change, you know, hey, maybe one day it's just coming out of your hand a little bit different. And so you have to make adjustments, you know, on the fly sometimes to say, okay, my ball's rotating a little bit more, you know, here's something I can do to maybe take some rotation off or add, you know, a little bit more spin. And so it's very specialized, and you know, guys in the league are just, you know, incredibly talented at being able to repeat, you know, that motion.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. All right, so we are starting to run out of time, so I will jump into some live questions. We have a couple here. The first one from Kyle D. Dominicantonio. Welcome to the team, Josh. As a huge fan of the man, have you heard much of the legend that is David Benn? He's had some high expectations. Happy to have you on board and wish you an amazing season.
Of course. How could I not know about the legend that is Dave Benn? I mean, I actually had a chance years ago. I want to say it was maybe my second year in. I used to come out to San Diego and train with John Carney at his place down near Carlsbad. And Dave came out and I got to work with him one afternoon. And so it was really cool. I mean, to be able to share a field and kind of pick his brain and learn a little bit, you know, from a guy like him who did it at such a high level for so long. I mean, that was really cool. So tip of the cap to Dave for sure.
Yeah, that was a big question. Everyone started asking me, you know, have you heard of David Benn? Did you watch David Benn? So I had to ask it. So I'm glad Kyle did. This one is absolutely actually from my mom, Andrea Shoon. What was the key factor that earned you the long snapper position?
Ooh, you know, I think that's kind of tough. I mean, I think, you know, the snapping part of it for sure obviously takes front and center. You know, you got to be able to do that. But I think kind of, you know, the willingness to run downfield as well. You know, I've always wanted to mix it up. And, you know, I think, you know, I've never really been told this, but, you know, I like to think that me getting down and mixing it up down there and trying, you know, my best in coverage and, you know, challenging as many guys as I can to, you know, not let me, you know, beat you down the field, you know, type thing. That might have played a little bit of a factor in it as well. But, you know, listen, I'm just trying to do my job, do good today, so they'll bring me back tomorrow. You know, in this league, there's no credit, you know, and so you're constantly got to prove it.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I totally understand. And I'm watching, I just briefly going through the games the last season. Yes, you are hustling down that field, making tackles as we've shown here. So obviously we'll appreciate that. Got to see a couple this season, hopefully. Last question. I don't know if you have or not. How's Ryan Ficken as a coach so far? What did you speak to him before you signed, and have you met him so far?
Yeah, Fick is awesome. Awesome guy. He was in Minnesota for a long time, I think 15 years. And so he brings a lot of experience, a lot of expertise to the room. He and Chris Gold, man, they do a great job. You know, Chris, he's very knowledgeable as well. And so those guys being able to not only get us in the right, you know, positions, you know, fundamentally and things like that, but, you know, the X's and O's, but they got a lot of great ideas and a deep understanding of the positions, you know, and kind of what it takes to be great at, you know, kicker, punter, snapper, returner, any of that. And so I've really enjoyed my time so far with Coach Fick, and looking forward to winning a lot of games with him this year.
Yeah, sounds good to me. The whole group is seeming to come together really, really well. Ficken's been really impressive so far. Last question, I just gotta ask this real quick. From Thomas Martinez, worst snap ever at any level. Do you have one that completely has haunted you throughout your life?
I try to forget those.
Never happened.
Never happened. No. You know, yeah, I'd probably say, I can't remember what year this was. It might have been 2000, maybe 17. Or no, actually, you know what? We'll say my rookie year, all right, just to bring this thing kind of full circle here, rookie cool. year, like second game of my career ever, playing at Qualcomm Stadium against the Chargers. Man, I just dribble a extra point snap back there. And thank goodness, you know, we were able to overcome that moment. But that was crushing. I'd never really experienced that, but you know, I think that it made me better on the back end, you know, to kind of learn from that and grow. And so but for me, it's one of those things, whether you in a snap or in life, whatever, hey, good, bad, or indifferent, just get to the next play. You know, don't let that one kind of overwhelm you, and, you know, have that one turn into two. You know, you got to flush it, you know, no matter what happened, and get to the next play.
Love it. Sorry to bring up that, but I am definitely going to be searching up that play as soon as we get off here. So I appreciate
it. It might be a little grainy. You know, that might be some of the same film I was talking about earlier.
Yeah, I'll probably have to go find an actual newspaper with the picture of it to see if I can find it.
Easy.
All right, Josh. Hey, good luck to your daughter tomorrow at her recital. Good luck on the rest of the move. Good luck at training camp and all that, man. What are you, obviously tomorrow you're at the recital, but what are you doing for now? And then what can we expect from you the rest of the season, man?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm excited. You know, right now I'm back home this weekend, helping my wife take care of the house and the three kids. You know, it's been tough being away from them during this time of year, but looking forward to my daughter's ballet recital on Sunday. And so we'll experience that and have a great time celebrating her. And hey, I'm just looking forward to getting to work, you know, and being great on the field, being great off the field, and, you know, trying to be the best teammate that I can be, and looking forward to a great season ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. So we all hope we go 17-0 and go undefeated in the postseason and all that. All right. Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. Take care, Josh.
Hey, thanks, Tyler. Have a good one.
You too.